I'm so blessed I get to have my dad. I get to hug him on Father's Day. And happy Father's Day, Dad. And happy Father's Day to you, dads. And you look good today. There's some Father's Day gifts back there in the little blue bags there for you. Be sure and take one before you leave today. Fathers, we thank you for your investment in our lives. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Before we get going, though, I know you're going to want an update on my tomato plant. I get in trouble when I don't give updates, so here it is. This tomato plant, for those of you who know the story, bear with me, for those of you who don't, this tomato plant is 17 months old. I didn't plant it out of its little original little cup. You know, it was about this big and about this big around until last October. So somebody planted it in probably December or January, way back. I planted it out of a small little cup into this larger pot that you can't really see it right now, but it's a pot about this big. It's a patio tomato. Planted it in October. Then I brought it inside. And it kind of went gangly in the window, and it became a topic of conversation all throughout the wintertime. And I began to wonder, is it going to survive? What's it going to do when it comes time for spring? So I wrapped it all up, all the gangly-looking branches and everything, and I kind of, you know, helped it support itself on itself. And I took it outside, and then I kind of unfolded it, and I strapped it to these two posts with zip ties. And then we got all that wind, and it just ripped it to shreds. Of course, it was tender. It hadn't had any kind of weather at all. And I began to wonder, my beloved tomato, I think I killed it. But this was taken last Thursday, and I have to tell you that it looks, I wanted to send another picture to Brad this morning, but I wasn't sure that he'd get it in time. But it was the beneficiary of all that rain that we got in the last couple days. And I'm telling you, it looks amazing. Now, you're looking at last Thursday, and this thing is producing tomatoes. There's quite a few there you can see. There's some hidden. But all down near the bottom, especially, there's just yellow blossoms everywhere. This thing is going to produce fruit. Amen. Isn't that awesome? 17 months old, 18, probably going to be 19 months old before, you know, 20 months old before fall. And we'll just see what happens. Amen. I don't know how long they live, but I tortured the poor thing, and it's actually treating me pretty good after all of that. Amen. So good deal. I'm going to bring it in the fall. I will. I'll unstrap it, and I don't know. It'll probably die out there, but we'll see. I don't know. If it's still alive, I'll certainly give it a dignified ending to its fruitful life. Amen. This morning, Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13, we're picking up where Jesus has left off. It's no surprise that Jesus is preparing his disciples for something that they probably were still feeling unprepared for. The first five, beginning six chapters of Mark, have all to do with Jesus collecting his disciples, drawing them together, and intensely training them on the job training. Now, I don't know, I'm sure that probably you would feel like I would feel if I was a disciple of Jesus while he was walking around in the flesh. It's kind of nice to have him right there, right? And it would be, although excitingly fun and challenging to be a disciple of Jesus, as he's always calling us to growth, it would just be nice that when you have a problem, you could know that he's right there to run to. Well, Jesus is getting ready to push his disciples out of the nest. He's getting ready to stretch them out of their comfort zone. He's getting ready to move them beyond where they have ever been before. So Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not listen to you or will not listen to you, shake the dust off your feet and when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. And they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. The good thing is, although the disciples were probably terrified at what Jesus was getting ready to do, push them out of the nest, the good thing is, Jesus didn't waste any time instilling in his disciples what his top priorities were. Amen? There was without a doubt in their mind that Jesus came to worship the Father and that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? The disciples, having watched Jesus, having watched him heal the sick and have compassion on those that the ministry of the temple had been neglecting, to seek and to save the lost, Jesus had instilled that into his followers. And, you know, that's not a bad template for us as fathers. Amen. In fact, that's a perfect template. Jeanette and I really can't believe how fast our kids have grown and left the nest and now having young ones of their own. It's amazing. It reminds us that we only have a short time to have that level of influence into the lives of our kids. And fathers, we lift you up in prayer today because we realize that is a huge responsibility, a huge job. And thank you for doing the work of God in the lives of your kids. The raw essence of Jesus' ministry, the raw essence of his top priorities was to worship the Father and to seek and to save that which was lost. And we as fathers have the same role to pass on the values that we have received from Christ into the lives of our kids. May it be no mystery, dads and moms too, where our top priorities are. Amen. May when our kids see us, they see a reflection of Jesus. May there be no confusion in regards to what the priorities of our lives are. Well, the outcome of living in just such a way is not only surviving. I know some of us are thinking about getting out there and camping, and I was thinking about using an illustration about, you know, getting all geared up to go camping and teaching our kids survival skills and eating raw meat and stuff like that and over an open, you know, having a fire and cooking s'mores and all that good stuff. But we're not only teaching our kids to survive as we're following the ways of Jesus. We're teaching them how to thrive. Amen? To survive and thrive in a world that has lost its way. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of a Star Trek fan. I'm one of those Trekkies. Not seriously so, but I mean, not to the point where I'm weird, but, well, maybe I am. I don't know. But Captain Picard has, you know, in The Next Generation, the camera focuses in on him, and, you know, when he's getting ready to give a command and getting ready to launch that mighty starship into light years ahead, and he's given a navigation code that who knows what it means to Commander Data, and Commander Data or Geordi or is waiting there to just press the activate button. Captain Picard, with his finger in the air, after he's given the directives, says what?
Make it so.
Make it so. Well, I was gonna go with the other one. Make it so is a good one too, but he says, engage. Engage. And number one is standing there, you know, and you know, they're all like, all right, let's get the show on the road. Here's the thing. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have been activated into a new life. A life that is different than the life we used to live. Amen? A life where we have been saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. And the beautiful thing is, as we have lived with Jesus now, for those of us who are followers of him and have become acquainted with his ways, there is no mystery in regards to his priorities. We've spent some time with him, and the reality is, by the time we get into living a little bit, Jesus is going to ask us to do something that we've never done before. He's going to engage our lives in his work. We are going to do what he has been doing. We are going to do and replicate what he has been showing us how to do, to seek and to save the lost, to bring healing and help into every area of life, to be his hands and feet in a lost, broken, and hurting world. So this morning, Jesus is showing us, not only in the lives of the disciples, that he's getting ready to engage them in mission. The reality is, he's ready to engage you and me too. Amen? What does that mean for you as a follower of Jesus Christ? For Christ to say, I know you've had a little time now to get acclimated. I know you've had a little time to get to know me as your Savior. Now I'm going to ask you to do something that you're not comfortable with. I'm going to ask you to do what I have been doing. I'm going to ask you to go into the world, and I'm going to ask you to seek and to save the lost, as I have been doing. And I can imagine the disciples were like, what? We thought that being your disciple was going to be like, it's nice to have you like right here all the time. And Jesus says, I'm going to push you out of the nest. You may not even like me for a little while. I don't know, but you may be uncomfortable. You may be a little scared. Now, I've experienced a little bit of that. It happens when you and I are, I had the opportunity, this week at Town and Country Days in Polo, I've had the opportunity to share Christ several times in the barbershop this week. It's been wonderful. But you know how it is when you're with somebody and you just feel like the Holy Spirit needs you to say something, amen? And you're like, the heart is pumping and it's coming up into your throat and you're like, well, I'm going to have to just share the love of Jesus right now because his thumb is in my back, and I've had the opportunity to do that three times this week. Amen? And it's like, oh, Jesus, I'm not comfortable doing it. Well, not always. Sometimes it flows better than others, but sometimes when we're feeling like we might be rejected, but we feel like we really need to do it anyway, there's the nerves right there. And there's the like, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. And Jesus says, that's exactly what I'm calling you to do. Brother Bill mentioned it in his prayer this morning, to be salt and light in a lost and dark and hurting world. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, Jesus is the master at forward momentum. In fact, you and I know that, I think intuitively we know that if we're not growing as a Christian, something's wrong in our lives, because Jesus is all about forward momentum. and forward movement, engaging, activating and engaging his disciples in the work of Jesus. We get nervous about that, though, because we know that it's going to require change in our lives. Let me ask you a question before we go any further. What changes are you sensing the Holy Spirit wanting to make in your life right now for you to take the next level of engagement into the mission of Jesus Christ? What changes are you feeling the Holy Spirit asking you to make right now for you to be freed up to not only be activated, but to be engaged in the next level of mission for Jesus Christ? In over there in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, by this time in the life of the nation of Israel, they have wandered in the desert for 40 years. Now, they came out of, this is the story of the Exodus, out of Egypt, the children of Israel being held captive and in slavery by King Pharaoh. You remember the story? Moses led them out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. Moses lifted up his staff and the Red Sea parted. Remember that? This is critical. We're going to get back to that. The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was in the middle, and the sea collapsed on itself. The children of Israel then walked from there. Moses sent 12 spies into the Promised Land to check it out. Remember? And how many of them came back with the right report, with the good report, a faithful report? Two, who were they? Joshua. Joshua and Caleb came back with a favorable report. Everybody said, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. We're like bugs. We're going to be squashed. And Joshua and Caleb said, no, wait a minute. The promise of God is, if he sends us to it, if he leads us to it, he's going to get us through it. Amen? So Joshua and Caleb came back and said, yeah, we did look like bugs in their sight, but we can certainly do this. 40 years later, after wandering around and around and around and around, can you hear me all the way back? See, that's a picture of our life sometimes. We have the opportunity to engage. We've been activated. We've been delivered. We've been activated. We've been engaged. And then we get scared. We get terrified, and we feel like we're going to be squashed like a bug if we go out there. And so they wandered for 40 years. Some of the most potentially fruitful years of our lives can be spent inside, growing gangly like a tomato plant, reaching for the sun in the off season. Jesus says, I'm going to engage you if you will let me. I'm going to send you out into the world two by two. So, speed ahead now, 40 years later, Joshua, Moses is dead, Joshua chapter 1. God says to Joshua, he says, I want you to get everybody ready because we're going to cross the Jordan River. Have you ever been a part of a group of people that's going somewhere and you really don't have a choice as to whether or not you're going or not? You're going. Sometimes that's the way it feels like in a family, I know. Maybe that's the way you felt, you know, growing up in the church. It's like, it's Sunday morning and we're going to church. I don't really want to go. I don't want to go. We're going. Amen. Well, that's the way it was for Israel. A new leader had been raised up. And God said to Joshua, I want you to get everybody ready because you're going to cross the Jordan. And you're going to cross into Jericho. I'm going to have you send two spies in ahead. Remember the story of that? Two spies, where did they stay? Stay with Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. And remember the story? She was going to be supportive of the work of God in Jericho, the what was about to happen. And she carved out an agreement with the two spies and said, I'm going to hang this scarlet thread Where's this whole sermon right there? I'm going to hang this scarlet thread in the window, and when the Israelite soldiers come in, when they see the thread, when they see the scarlet thread, everybody in your house will be spared, will be saved, will be redeemed. Can you hear me all the way back? So he sent them out two by two. Kind of rings a bell, doesn't it? Jesus is now sending his disciples out two by two. Why would he do that? Well, for one thing, support. We need each other, amen? The devil likes to isolate us, especially when we're depressed and we get discouraged, and he says, why don't you just draw away? You just need some time by yourself for a while. Can I tell you that that's the first step to disengagement? And I want to encourage you that the first step when you're discouraged or depressed or anxious or thinking about, what are my options? The first step is towards Jesus, always, amen? It's back to his church. It's back to his hands and feet. It's back to his heart. It's back to his compassion. So Jesus sent them out two by two. It's also for accountability. Yesterday in the barbershop, and by the way, men, we meet at 6:30 on Saturday mornings in the barbershop in Polo. I know it's early, but hey, what else are you doing? 6:30 in the morning Saturday. What else is there to do? So you come to John's barbershop and we get into the Word. Yesterday morning, we were talking about accountability to each other. We're talking about how important it is. And we had to work through some stuff that wouldn't be appropriate for us to talk about here in a worship setting, and it wouldn't be appropriate for us to talk about even in an adult small group. But it is appropriate for guys in a small group to ask each other some really hard questions about stuff that guys struggle with. And that's what we do. It's a small group. And you're welcome to attend, but know that you may not be comfortable all the time because Jesus is going to help you work through some stuff with a group of supportive guys that maybe has been, you'd rather avoid talking about sometimes. So Jesus sent them out two by two for support, for accountability, and also for mutual spiritual giftedness. You all have gifts and abilities in ministry that I do not have. So I need you. I need you to help complete, and Jesus needs you to help complete the work of the church, the hands and the feet of Jesus. So they went out two by two in support of each other, doing the work of the church. In the fall of 1984, man, that seems like a century ago, Jeanette and I began a great adventure. We headed off to Olivet. We were 18. We were married. And everything we owned fit in the back of a 1956 Ford pickup. And there was plenty of room to spare. We had everything we needed, but by every standard of the world, we were destitute. Amen. We were kind of scared, but we were happy. We were pursuing God's plan for our lives. We were poor, but we had God, and we had each other, and we had the support and love of the church. We were happy not because we had lots of stuff. We were happy because we had found God's will for our lives and were engaged in pursuing it. Amen? It was hard. By the way, I wouldn't recommend taking that path. It was hard, but I wouldn't change it. Amen? It was right for Jeanette and I. Scripture says that he gave those disciples authority. He was giving them authority because they were bearing his name. Power to do difficult, challenging, hard stuff that is beyond us, done in the name of Jesus, makes it possible. Amen? It was said yesterday at the men's group, right makes might. Reminds me of the story of David and Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17:45, that Philistine was taunting those Israelites across that valley, and he said, why don't you just try me, this big monstrous giant of a man, 9 foot something tall, a skilled warrior, agile. And he was just impressive, I'm sure, to look at. And the Israelites were thinking, oh, Lord, we're terrified to go out and do and engage in this battle. So little shepherd boy David, he heard the call of God in his life. This shepherd boy heard the call of God in his life, and he looked at the Israelite army and he said, why are we not doing something to engage this Philistine in battle? And they said, well, we're scared. We're terrified. And so David said, well, let me go. And so Saul, the king, said, all right, we don't want to send you out without defenses, so I'm going to give you my armor. So little King David here is all loaded down with a big guy's armor. And he tried to work with that, and he just realized he couldn't, and so he took off the armor, and he went down to the brook, and he got some stones, and he, you remember the story? 1 Samuel 17:45, David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And little David, wasn't king yet, little shepherd boy David, got that sling going, and he let that stone go, and down came the giant in the name of the Lord. You see, our authority does not come from our strength, does not come from our might. Our authority to do the work of God, to engage in his mission, to experience joy and fulfillment in life, our authority to do that. I know it's scary, but you know what? That's the way forward. To engage in his mission comes from the name of Jesus. So Jesus goes on and he starts to describe to these guys, these 12 disciples, how it is that they're going to go on this trip, on this mission trip. How many of you ever been on a mission trip? All right, a few of you have been, and I'm sure you loaded up the suitcase and loaded up the car and you had everything. Well, that's what you do when you get ready to go on a trip, isn't it? I know when Jeanette was traveling a great deal by plane, it took her a little while to figure out the best way to travel by plane. You just don't take a lot of stuff. You learn how to, you know, roll up a couple of garments, and you learn how to take just what you need. And pretty soon she was going out the door for a 3 or 4 day work trip with just a little handbag. And I'm like, how different once we learn how to travel light. Jesus is teaching his disciples what they really need in order to accomplish his mission. Now, it's kind of counterintuitive, because you remember what the scripture said? Jesus said, all right, I wanted to get you guys ready to go. So he says, all right, you ready? Here's what you need. Here's your stuff. Here's the stuff I want you to take. Don't take any bread. Don't take any money. And you can take an extra shirt. No, don't even take an extra shirt. And the guys were probably like, what? It's the exact opposite of what we do in life, isn't it? And it got me to thinking about being activated and being engaged in the mission of Christ, sometimes we go about it backwards. And we say, well, I've got to have this amazing armor like little David. And I got to wield a big sword like little David in order to fight the big giant. When Jesus says, no, those are not the tools of artillery that I'm asking you to have. And they will only weigh you down. It got me thinking about what might be too much of a good thing even today. And I got to thinking about, you know, the fact is we could have too much money. Everybody okay? We could have too much. And we could have so much money, you know, we could have like $52 in the bank and be like confident that I got this, I got it. We can survive. We can make it because, I mean, I got that $52 in the bank. And then not have faith and dependence on God because we got that $52 in the bank. We could have popularity. We could have so much popularity. People walk into a room, people go, oh, there's so-and-so. And everybody, yeah, whoa, yeah. And, you know, people are happy to see you, and it's awesome. And you're walking in, you're like, yeah, I love this. And I don't even need God's approval because I've got, I mean, we don't say that. And by the way, I wouldn't want to make anybody, any of my fans mad. You know what I'm saying? Because I need them. Because if I don't have their, well, you know, we could be too popular. And then not rely on God and His approval of us. Amen? We could have too much technology. We could be so occupied by useless information being thrown at our way every time we look at our phone that we neglect being part of the moment, the conversation, the dialogue that is right in front of us. And God keeps saying, I'm giving you opportunities to do my mission, to engage, but I'm so busy. I mean, I gotta check, you know, how many likes I got on my post. We could even have too much food. Moderation keeps us lean and adaptable, and Jesus needed his guys to be lean and adaptable. He says, I don't want you loading up on carbs because I've seen what happens to you. I'm trying to activate you, and you're over there under the oak tree taking a nap. So don't take any bread. And they're like, what are we going to eat? I mean, that's a legitimate question, right? We know that excess food makes us sluggish, and tired. Remember that prayer as Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. I remember that clear back there was there wandering in the desert? And every day God provided a little bit of manna for them to eat, and they couldn't go out and like hoard it because it would just go bad. They had to get what they needed a day at a time. So Jesus says, but you can take a staff. And that's pretty exciting because you remember how many times God used the staff of Moses? He said stuff like, stretch out your staff across the Red Sea, and the sea parted. And the disciples, that was no coincidence. The disciples were like, what is God going to do with this staff? Amen? The extension of confidence in Him. So, Jesus said, you can don't take any money. Don't take a bag. Don't take any bread. You can wear sandals, but don't even take an extra tunic. I thought that was underwear, but that's actually like a t-shirt. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, listen to the words of Jesus. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink. These are the words of Jesus, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow's thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What are we going to wear? Husbands, do not tell on your wife this morning when she walked to the closet and said, what am I going to wear? No. Verse 32, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Friends, that's not a bad way to live. Amen. So why do we choose otherwise? This way that Jesus is teaching us is a pattern for living light on our feet. It's a way for us to have less to maintain. It's a way for us to have less clutter in our brains. It's a way for us to be freed up to do the work of the gospel. You see, God asks us to find our supply in him and not in our strength. Amen? Material possessions are hollow if we try to find the meaning of life in them. Matthew 6:19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Something's going to get your stuff. Something's going to get it. Why not maximize it for the kingdom? Amen? None of us are going to have anything when we die. Maximize it for the kingdom. Amen? It's not wrong to own stuff. It's wrong to believe that we can survive because we've got our stuff. And we choose a life less fulfilling, less joyful, because we've got to maintain all of our stuff instead of being engaged fully in the mission of Jesus Christ. Rich towards God. Boy, there's so much here. As we close this morning, I'd like to ask you a couple questions. Jesus was engaging his disciples. Their mission was two-pronged. They were to preach repentance, and they were to anoint the sick with oil for healing. This morning, as the body of Christ, the church, we too hear the words of Jesus as he invites us to repent. You see, we cannot even be activated until we've repented of our sin. I'd like to lead you in a prayer this morning of repentance. Let's pray. Lord, the Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Lord, I don't know how this message has, like seeds of the gospel, I don't know how the message has been received, but you do, and you've been doing some work in hearts, I'm confident. And Lord, when we think about repentance, immediately that thing that we have held back on, your Holy Spirit is faithful to bring it to the forefront of our attention. Lord, this morning, we thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit that is helping us understand that holding on to this thing is a heaven and hell decision. Not acknowledging you as Lord is a pathway to destruction. Lord, today, thank you for the ministry of your loving Holy Spirit, bringing anything that needs to be repented of, whether it's a mountain of sins or a single sin that needs to be repented of and allowed that your the blood of Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, would take away our sin, cover our sin with your blood. So, Lord, we thank you today. You've called us to repentance. And for anyone here this morning who needs to repent of a particular or a lifelong of sins, you may want to pray this prayer or something like it. Dear Jesus, I repent. I'm sorry for the sins that I have committed, denying your lordship of my life. I acknowledge that my only way for salvation is in you. That you are my only hope. That you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I accept you as my personal Savior. I accept you as the perfect Lamb of God who takes away my sin. And I receive your salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's a prayer that you prayed this morning and you meant it, I'd like you to raise your hand and make a public confession of your faith this morning. Thank you. Second, I want to welcome you to the family too, for those watching online, participating in the service. May God bless you. A couple more questions as we come in for a landing this morning. Is there anything, I should say, what things are taking too much of your time and keeping you occupied rather than doing the mission of Jesus? Perhaps another question would be, whom is Jesus calling you to pour yourself unreservedly into? Really, really working on a few relationships. I mean, pouring yourself into them because they are pressing into you. You press into them. How about your marriage? Your kids, your family, your friends. And finally, because we believe that the Bible teaches that there's more to just to following Jesus than being activated, you know, the on button. It's about following in engagement in mission. Because you see, a verbal confession is good and necessary, but we only confuse our kids unless we're following it up with action. And we're deceiving ourselves. Just look to the book of James for that. What good is it, my brothers, to have faith but not works? It means that we are activated and we are engaged in mission. So the question is, what follow-through do you need to participate in? And that's going to be different for all of us. Maybe the Lord said, I need you to not have that so you can be fully engaged in mission. It may come down to as simple as that for somebody. I need you to not do that so that you can do this. And finally, what pursuit are you actively engaged in? And the right answer here is Jesus, you know, like in Sunday school, Jesus! Well, that's good, but is that what your kids would say about you? Is that what your spouse would say about you? What am I actively engaged in? Jesus! And your spouse says, who are you? No. It's got to be thorough. Amen? A complete engagement in Jesus. And that's why we're here this morning. Jesus sent the disciples to do the ministry of repentance and healing. And that's the work that he's still calling us to do. Amen? Amen. Worship team, would you come? And let me lead you in prayer as they come. Jesus, thank you for the mission that you've called us to. Father, it's invigorating. We thank you for re-energizing and rekindling the fire in us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for refreshing us with your perspective on what the top priorities are in life. Lord, we're so distractible. We can get fixated on something and we don't realize the cost to the kingdom when we fixate on this thing or that thing. Lord, help us, I pray, as a church to be thoroughly engaged in ministry, for however that translates to our own personal lives. Lord, help us, I pray, to send a thorough, unpolluted signal to our kids in regards to what the real priorities of life are by doing it, by living according to your will and way in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us. Thank you, Father, for saving us from ourselves, for saving us from a life of meaningless wandering in the desert. Thank you, Lord, for inviting us into the land of spiritual maturity. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to face the giants. Help us do that this week. May you receive the honor and glory, and may souls be added to the kingdom as we share the good news of Jesus wherever we're at. In the restaurant, at the barber shop, at work. Lord, may you receive the glory. Plant the seeds of the gospel in and through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Seems like, oh.
stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed.
Then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes, and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carried his son. All the way you went until you reached this place. Yes. God bless you guys. You are dismissed.